Stick around because I have a chat with the amazing Heather Green. We're talking witches as we keep this Halloween season rolling along. So stay tuned for this brilliant tidbit.
I'm Alan Brill. Welcome to Brilliant, a podcast from the mind of Brill. Warning, it gets dark in here.
I have a very special guest for y'all this week, writer, journalist, and editor. She has written for Religion News, Turner Classic Movies, The Wild Hunt, and more. She is the author of Lights, Camera, Witchcraft. Heather Green, welcome to Brilliant.
Thank you very much. I'm happy to be here and chat with you about lots of good things today.
Absolutely. Since we're smack dab in the Halloween season, witches are a timeless icon of Halloween. It's impossible to think of Halloween without conjuring up the image of a witch. But what does Halloween mean to the modern witch, if anything?
Yeah, no, if anything, lots of things, actually. So it's complicated, really. In modern witchcraft, and I'm speaking for a good portion of witches, but not every witch, so let's be clear, because every witch has a different practice. But there is a holiday called Samhain. Samhain is celebrated either on Halloween or within a week of Halloween. And what Samhain is a celebration of the end of the year, the end of what witches call their, it's kind of like a new year. It is also a time to do divination, to think about the year to come, the year past, sort of that in-between time, and to also enjoy visits from deceased relatives, the mighty dead, and other people who have passed. A lot of witches will do rituals that involve calling in the dead. And that's a very common thing for religions and spiritual people around the world, not just witches. This is a good time because, as many people believe, the veil between the worlds is very thin. And whether you believe that or not is another thing, but a lot of witches do. And whether it is or not, it's an excellent time to commune with your deceased relatives, have a visit from grandma, have tea with an aunt that you haven't had tea with for 20 years, etc. So that's what Samhain is about. And Samhain is, often people will see Samhain written in Samhaain. I think there was a movie that called him Samhain and he was a bad character, I believe. I didn't see that movie. But that is an English, it comes from the UK and has been part of the witchcraft and Wiccan traditions since inception.
Okay. Now, I did a little informal poll on Facebook and I asked people, like, when you hear the word witch, you know, what do you think of? And actually I got a lot of Oz references, of course. And then a lot of people come back with the classic imagery of the pointy hat or the broomstick. And a couple of people even said things like, well, former coworkers, or can I name names, which gives a negative connotation, you know? And I had a couple of people like, you know, when I was a child, it's easy as Disney, but now as an adult, I'm not really sure, you know, what I would think of. And it seems kind of hard to pin down. And the quote from this book I was reading, it calls the witch both the oppressed and the empowered. There's a lot of like conflicting things. Do you think we can define what a witch is in this modern age?
Again, wow, that's a loaded question because
it is, yeah.
That's I do a whole workshop on that, honestly, Alan. The witch, like you said, has so many different connotations. It really depends on who you are, what religious upbringing you have, what time period we're talking about. But if we're talking about modern times, the witch has several different incarnations that we see her. Of course, there's modern witches, like I was just talking about, who celebrate Samhain and many other holidays. It's a religious or spiritual experience. These people define themselves as witches. in many capacities. And then you have some sectors of our population that still see witches as a woman or a person who is in league with the devil. Of course, we see that usage still, unfortunately. And of course, there is the witches that come to mind for one of your followers said, I think of Disney. Of course, there's lots of wonderful pointy hat wearing fictional witches that have come to us for, you know, from fiction, early Hollywood and earlier, you know, that are wonderful and enjoyable. And then you also have the use of the word witch as a rebel. In the 1960s, a number of feminists during the feminist movement of that period used the word witch to designate that they were seizing their power. So you have the witch as an icon of feminist power, or a more like Wicked, which is coming back again, as we know, an icon of rising above oppression. No matter whether it's the woman or some other marginalized group, there's a symbol of the witch as the consummate rebel, standing out and moving beyond society's rules and regulations that oppress her.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, as it shapes all our, the way we look at things, Hollywood has come into play there. And the excellent book, Lights, Camera, Witchcraft, really shows the role that's played. Can we maybe explore some of that as a
I love that topic, as in, you know, because I wrote the book,
right?
and I love movies as a film historian, and as a practicing witch. This was like right in my sweet spot of enjoyment in academic research. So when Hollywood got started, it did not invent the idea of the witch. Clearly the witch has had a long legacy in both fictional accounts, think of Shakespeare's plays, as well as in a religious and other cultural history. We have, of course, the witchcraft trials throughout Europe, and it goes beyond Western Europe, Western culture. We also have problems and magical practices in Eastern and all kinds of cultures throughout the world. So the legacy of what a witch was came to Hollywood through all of that and landed at its doorstep. And of course, everybody loves a story about the witch. And in early Hollywood, you had a lot of stories that were more Salem-like. They were stories about girls or older women who were doing things that were against the norm, who got accused of witchcraft. Of course, most of them were then and were let off in the end. So we have a lot of Salem-like trial stories back in the silent era, which are fun to watch and short. You also have, of course, the pointy hat witches. Those started to appear in Hollywood around the 20s in cartoons. And of course, the Wicked Witch of the West is the one we all think about, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. She's come a long way, actually, from her early days to Elphaba. But yeah, that witch, of course, I call her the Halloween witch in my book. So you have the accused woman, who is the one I just spoke about. Then you have this Halloween witch, a fictional character. You also have what I call you also have the vamp witch. The vamp witch is the sexy witch, the witch who is beautiful. And most of these witches I'm talking about are women, because that's what Hollywood has done.
That's what they're giving us, yeah.
But one of the first vamp witches we find is actually in Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, the Wicked Queen. But she goes across Hollywood. We see her more and more in the 70s and, of course, the 80s and beyond. We see the vamp witch. That's younger, sexy witch. Of course, then there's the teenage witches. We love the teenage witches. This is the Craft and Sabrina and Charmed and all of these twitches. You know, the teenage girl just finding her way into magic. Carrie even is a teenage witch, if you count that as a witch film.
Yeah, you have to think about it, yeah.
Yep, and so you have the teen witch. And another one that I like to talk about is the clown witch. She's kind of began with the Victorian era into Hollywood as a kind of a comical witch, patchworked and colorful. And when we get into color films, she usually has red hair. So think of Endora from Bewitched. She's a perfect example of the clown witch. Typically not the main character, but usually an auntie or something.
Or Gladys, who recently terrified me.
Who?
And Gladys in Weapons. Yeah, Homer.
Yes. And I was just talking about that, Alan. It's really funny because in all of Hollywood history, the clown witch in that styling is typically a funny character, not scary at all. Weapons turned that on its head.
Yeah, it did.
Oh my goodness, what a great movie. So that was really interesting, actually. That's a whole nother conversation. But but yeah, so those are some. Of course, you have magical men. You have wizards. Those are typically fantasy. You have male witches who usually play to comedy because our society doesn't think of men as witches, which is inaccurate in modern witchcraft, modern practice. Modern witches in real life come in many genders. And we also have male witches as warlocks that are usually in horror films if they define themselves as warlocks. It's not a term typically used in the modern witchcraft world, but is associated with more sinister male magical characters. Right. And then the other one is the ceremonial magician. The ceremonial magician is kind of like someone who practices in a cult-like thing. Like, it looks like an occult practice that's scary. They're typically in horror films. Twilight Zone has a few of them as well.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
So those were some of the characters that I outline. I also talk about the magical other and voodoo priestesses and other characters that appear in these films. But those are the central characters that we see.
And also, I just thought it was fascinating how Hollywood used witches to, no, I can't think of the words, to reflect where society was at the time. Like, in the beginning, the witch is saved because she gets married and settles back into society, how they think she should behave. And as it progresses through the decades, they use the witch to yeah.
Yeah, it's true. And
can't think of that word.
No. They used witches, they didn't, that's not the way to say it, is because nobody uses anything. Let's try that again.
Right.
Witches throughout Hollywood's history have represented how we view and how we negotiate gender roles. And I often say my book is actually a look at the history of women and gender roles as much as it is a look at witches and a fun take on movie watching with witchcraft. So yeah, you have this understanding that during a period of time, the way we understand gender roles and women's place in society, politics, religion, our relationship with all that is reflected in these movies. And I'll give you a good, really good example, is that during the 20s, there was a ramp up of women's empowerment. So there was a lot of, think this was the time when women got the right to vote. Women were stepping outside of their confined roles in the 20s. There were a lot of technological advances, like the washing machine, that were allowing women to have more freedom to explore the outside, to do things outside of marriage, outside of the home. So they started to explore more the ability to have more power in society. And it's interesting because during the 20s, you had very few witch films. You had cartoons, fictional stuff, mostly a few things here and there. And then in 1934, a few years after the crash, a production code comes in to censor it, and society starts to revert back out of fear after the Depression into a more conservative decade. Women were needed to go back to the home because there wasn't as much money anymore for the luxuries. The swinging 1920s were over, and we really reverted back to normative roles for women, for men, for everybody. And it is during this time, almost perfectly that witch films return. And the witch films, as you've said, were demonstrations of women needing to not do things or what women should not do. So you have, like, for example, I Married a Witch, and he meets this crazy young woman who's a witch, and then, you know, it's fun, it's funny, she's a witch and all this stuff, but in the end she chooses marriage, she chooses the proper life. So the witch films of this era show women, okay, you've done some things that are crazy, now you have to get back to society. So it's really reflecting what society is telling women her role should be. And that happens throughout. Of course, things change in the 60s and 70s and beyond. So it really, really does reflect gender roles in society, things going on in terms of belief and religion, conservative and progressive swings. It's really interesting.
Oh, yeah, it's fascinating. You know, you get into, yeah, every generation or whatever, like, oh, we're in a satanic panic, and all of a sudden they're, you know, evil again or whatever. And I find it interesting in the times we're currently living in. The last movie, Aunt Gladys, comes out, and that's some another focus to our fear, right? So,
oh, absolutely. We have, I just commented, I said that movie is a treatise on the suburbs and the fear in the suburbs, the fear that exists naturally in the suburbs. As well as greater fears of what's lurking out there. And what's really interesting is that they brought back the witch as an anti-feminist, fear-mongering character without any backstory. And that hasn't happened. We haven't had a witch like that in full since the 80s. She's very much a hocus-pocus witch. She's a witch that harms children. And so it was really interesting to see that return. Which, like you said, we're in a very interesting time right now where we're getting Elphaba, who is, I keep bringing that up, Elphaba, who's the pinnacle of the feminist, powerful, and, you know, rebellious witch, right up against Gladys.
Yeah.
Who is a terrifying 1980s family destroying, child eating witch. So, you know, we're getting the satanic panic and the 60s movement all at once.
Yeah. Interesting times, absolutely. Just keep thinking it would be really cool if, like, you know, the witchy movies or witchcraft center movies, if there was just like a place where we could watch it and maybe get the opinions of like a coven of experts on it. That would be really cool.
We have a podcast for that, don't we? We, I'm part of a Wednesday night podcast. It's live. So you show up at 9:00. We have comments running. So everybody in the comments is joining in on the conversation, of course. And it's the main co-host, myself and the other four co-hosts, are started this several years back, and we've come every Wednesday to chat about some witchcraft or witchcraft adjacent film. Sometimes we go a little bit off of the witchcraft topics, especially on our birthdays. We get to choose whatever we want. But we usually talk about some witchcraft related film, and we talk about the magic. Is it real? Is it not real? We talk about, you know, everything there is. Sometimes we have a lot of fun, there's a lot of laughs, it's very casual. And so we encourage everybody to show up in the comments and join our coven meeting.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. It is.
I'm not sure if I said the name, Witches Movie Coven. I don't even say it. Witches Movie Coven, 9 p.m. YouTube.
And again, I can't say enough about this book. It really was just a fascinating journey, Lights, Camera, Witchcraft, everyone. And where can they find that at?
You can get it at all major retailers. It's published by Llewellyn, and you can go to llewellyn.com and get it directly from the publisher as well. But and of course, local bookstores, support your local bookstores. I like to always add that in. And some metaphysical shops as well have it. But you can get it at any major retailer. And you can also reach out to mysterycontrol.com. They have signed versions on that site. That's my the producers of our podcast. So they have signed versions there. And also you could reach out to me as well, heathergreen.net.
All right. Well, I think I've taken up enough of your time today. I can't thank you enough for coming on. I super appreciate it. And I think we've all... we've all learned a little something today, which is excellent. That's the idea. That's the goal. So thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Well, folks, that was a lot of fun and super informative. And I can't wait to have her back on again sometime when we have a little more time. It was a fascinating conversation. And hey, that's it for this week. If you liked what you saw or heard, please hit that like and subscribe button. Ring the bell so you get updated for all of my drops. And I'll see you next week. And until then, be safe and be careful because it can get dark out there.